From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast. No one patches an old cloak with a piece of an shrunken cloth, for its fullness pulls away from the cloak and the tear worsens. People do not put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the skins burst, the wine spill out, and the skins are ruined. Rather, they pour new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, at the end of the book of Amos, we get the prophecy of consolation after the words of desolation. Amos for God sketches what God will do in rebuilding his people. The image that he uses is the plowman should overtake the reaper, the vintager the one who sows the seed, and the juice of grapes shall drip down the mountains and all the hills shall run with it. This would be the image of restoration. Grape juice dripping down mountains, hills running with wine. Today in the Gospel, Jesus describes for us the novelty of his appearance and time. The disciples of John the Baptist, so not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, not the chief priests and the scribes. The disciples of John the Baptist prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. Weren't really prepared for the novelty of what he was doing. John was preparing them for a baptism of repentance, to make straight the paths, to level the mountains of pride, to fill up the shallow valleys of superficial life. But he wasn't really getting them ready for the revolution that Christ was doing. They couldn't possibly comprehend it. Their baptism of repentance was not so much a readiness for the joy, was a recognition of their sinfulness, but not the new life that would come through mercy. So John's disciples come and say, "Why aren't your disciples fasting when we and the Pharisees fast much?" I mentioned to you before that we know that the Pharisees used to fast twice a week, whereas the typical Jew would fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. They fasted quite a bit. We know that the disciples of John the Baptist were likely imitating his fasting. Wild honey and locusts, this really quite abstemious life. John's disciples didn't really have the temerity to question why Jesus himself wasn't fasting. They might have thought that he would be the exception because he was the one pointed out by John. But the very fact that his disciples were not fasting was a scandal to them. So they came and asked him directly. And Jesus' answer pointed out one of the most important truths in our faith. Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The actual Greek employed here is friends of the bridal chamber, which basically means members of the wedding party. Can the members of the wedding party fast as long as the wedding is ongoing? We know the answer to that is no. If we were to go to a friend's wedding and we were the best man and the maid of honor, and we said we were fasting the entire time, people would think that we're a little weird. And we would be a little weird. There's a time for feasting. And that time for feasting is now continuous because the bridegroom is here. That's the fundamental way a Christian ought to live. Sometimes we've got a big choice to make in life. The choice is whether we're going to focus on all the bad stuff out there or the bad stuff in here and obsess about it, or whether we're going to obsess about the reality that the incarnation has happened and the incarnation continues. If the bridegroom is with us, we should be marked mainly by joy at all times. Joy even in suffering. As St. Paul would write, I rejoice even in my sufferings. Because he knows that the Lord is present. A lot of the times this is not the characteristic attitude that people see with the church. If it were, we wouldn't be so maligned. Because a lot of the times, the holier we get, the more aloof we get. Sometimes the holier we get, in the impression of the world, the less joyful we become, rather than the more joyful. Because I think sometimes we can become like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the very term means those who are aloof, those who are separated, the distant ones. And we can try to separate ourselves so much from the evil that's without and within that we have our joy robbed. The fundamental attitude of a Christian has got to be one of joy. Jesus gives us a new principle of fasting. He says, the days will come when the bridegroom is ripped away from them. The same word for that verb to take away is what was used by the evangelists when they described how Jesus was ripped out of the Garden of Gethsemane, torn aside. The days will come when Jesus will be ripped away, and then they will fast. We will still fast differently. The Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist were fasting in reparation and in supplication. Reparation for their sins and the sins of the world, and in supplication for certain prayers to be answered. The fasting of a Christian is going to be a fasting with hope for the coming of the bridegroom, for the return of the bridegroom, for the fullness that the bridegroom brings. The fasting of a Christian, as we hear every Friday after Ash Wednesday, is a hunger for God's hunger to be satiated. For justice really to come, as Isaiah 58 describes, for the poor to be fed and cared for and loved. We fast for that, but we fast with hope. We fast precisely with hope because of the promises of the Savior, that when He comes, we are going to have some participation in that image of the wine flowing down the mountain. Jesus gives two images which are important for us to grasp if we're going to get what he's saying about being perpetually at a wedding reception with the bridegroom throughout the whole of our life. No one patches an old cloak with a piece of unshrunken cloth, for its fullness pulls away from the cloak and the tears get worse. Jesus wasn't coming into the world just to patch up the problems in Judaism. Jesus was coming with a total newness. He was going to give us a new garment. The garment, the white robe of baptism, blanched by his own blood. We were to put on Christ, to be vested with Christ and vested with his virtues. And he had come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, by doing, as we heard the previous 3 weeks with the Sermon on the Mount, by helping us to order everything to the Father, and by changing us from the inside out so that we might be a tree attached to Him who is the vine. Likewise, He gives the second image. We don't pour new wine into old wineskins because it will burst the skins. But he's going to give us fresh wineskins to receive his new wine. That's the new heart he prophesied to give. Sometimes when we look at those Old Testament images in Ezekiel and Jeremiah about the Lord taking away our heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh, that true heart transplant which happens at baptism, we can sometimes think that what Jesus was talking about was just the sclerotic heart of the sinful Jews, the people in need of repentance. No, way more than that. He was talking about taking out the heart even of the faithful Jews, because there was something new that was going to be given, something radically new, this new heart that could receive the outpouring of his love, the fullness of it. The one who shows us what that heart looks like is Our Lady. She was the one who was vested in grace from the first moment of her existence. She was the one whose heart was immaculate, was capable of seeing God and saying fiat to whatever God wanted. She was the one who, even in her seven sorrows, had a spirit that was rejoicing in God, her Savior. She was the one who shows us always how to cooperate. I mean, it's very interesting, Our Lady. Her first miracle was to continue a wedding and to help make it more joyful. The first intercession that she had with her son was to ask him to help this couple celebrate appropriately. And what occurred with that? Jesus didn't work a spearing miracle. But last month I actually did the calculation. Do you want to know how many wine bottles Jesus made in Cana? So, 6 30-gallon jars, 180 gallons of wine, times 3.8 liters per gallon, times 4/3, right? If you've got a bottle of wine, it's 750 milliliters, typical bottle of wine. Sister, you got the math done? 912 bottles of wine. 12 bottles in a case. You can basically get what we're talking about, right? We are talking about 57 cases of wine. Sorry, 77 cases of wine, I think. I didn't do the cases of wine, I'm doing that now. But 912 bottles of wine, 80 minus 4. So it's 76 cases of wine. That's what Jesus did, because he wanted the party ongoing. He wanted that feast to really be celebrated, because the bridegroom was there with them. The bridegroom's still with us. Sisters, one of the most important parts of your charism is to fast for the cause of life. But you fast full of joy, because the Lord Jesus is fasting too, so that every human life be reverenced, every human life be received with the love with which we would seek to receive him. Today we come forward and we have had a Eucharistic fast, because we hunger for what God hungers, and he hungers to come within us fully. He's sent the Holy Spirit to give us this new heart, this new garment, this new wineskin, to receive what he wishes to do, which is to fill us with himself, so that his life might be in us and our joy might be complete. The bridegroom is here. Let us, as the friends of the bridal chamber, go out to embrace Christ the Lord.